As we wake up in the morning, that's when the voices start. It don't take long before they're gone from your head right to your heart. We got fears about the future, regrets about the past, and stuff we're not sure where it's from, but it's coming on fast. We're all thinking stuff together, but we're feeling all alone. And we're making up this movie, our own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention, and they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. 'Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, it'll take our lives away. It's what we're thinking about. 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 It's painting the scenes of our lives.
Well, welcome back to the show. And it is what we're thinking about. That's who we are. That's what we're doing right here. And I think we have Gary in Tennessee would like to tell us what he's thinking about. Gary, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm just recovering from my joke on the screener. I said, let me talk to Ludwig the Nazi spy.
Hey, none of that, my friend. What's going on with you?
I kind of wanted to point out that over the past few years, I've noticed a drift of math, science, and theology towards the same common point, the source, if you will, God, whatever. And now some of the scientists and mathematicians are acknowledging the existence of such. I think the mathematicians have gone mathematically to the 11th dimension, and They theorize that that is where God is. And I'd also like to talk about thought and intention for just a second. If you take, this is an experiment that actually happened, that thought is independent of time and distance. It's instantaneous, non-local in reality. And, for instance, if you put two plants on a table and the guy comes in with a pair of, of course, you got to hook it up to the electronic stuff first, both plants. And you come in and whack one plant apart with a pair of scissors, and then the same guy comes in with a pair of scissors. The other plant reacts to it. In other words, it has some sort of intelligence, apparently. And I thought you might kind of find this a little bit interesting. I guess the topic for today is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, that's an interesting way to completely take my entire two-hour show and turn it into one sentence. That would make for lots of dead air. But it is about do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's no two ways about that. And as far as that plant experiment, I've heard that variations of that many times in my life. And I truly believe that there is everything that exists on that we are aware of, everything that we exist that we're not aware of, is part and parcel of the mind of God. It all exists as the mind of God. We are really God's expression of God's self, and I truly believe that every cell of everything has an intelligence to it. And the more that each thing expresses life, the more it has the capacity to express the intelligence of its cellular makeup. And by that I mean, as you move up the, quotes, evolutionary scale, if you will, or if you move up the construction scale from a rock, which shows very little signs of life, has no real ability to express the intelligence of its cellular makeup, then you move on to plants. And I have no reason to believe that what you said about that experiment is not exactly the truth of that plant expressing its intelligence.
I'm hearing music.
Gary,
are we going
to a break, Gary. We're going to a break. You want to hang on?
Hang on.
We'll talk to you when the break's over. This is what we're thinking about. I'm Ken Ludwig. We're talking to Gary from Tennessee. He's thinking about some stuff. We'll talk some more about that when we come back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Up in the morning, that's when the voices start. It don't take long before they're gone from your head right to your heart. We got fears about the future, regrets about the past, and stuff we're not sure where it's from, but it's coming,
but it's
fast.
Coming on fast. Welcome back to the show. I'm Ken Ludwig, and this is What We're Thinking About, and we're talking to our friend Gary from Tennessee, who's been on the line here since before the break, who took my entire show here, my entire thought about service and volunteerism, and reduced it down to the simple sentence, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That wasn't very fair, Gary. You like kind of took the wind out of my sails here.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I'm only kidding.
You think you got the wind taken out of your sails? Excuse me. I'm 65 years old, and somebody has pulled the plug out of my USS America spaceship holodeck, and everything that I thought was true and the premises they were based on, the history books and everything else, turn out not to be so when you get down to start analyzing them. But you know, there's one holodeck they can't pull the plug on, and I'm standing here at my front door looking out at the woods, and that's one holodeck that won't go away except if somebody's stupid enough to take a chainsaw to it. And that's kind of about all I got to say, but
give them enough
magic,
time.
The magic of talk radio is phenomenal. My education, of course, I've got a degree in engineering, but I've learned so much more through talk radio by listening to the top scientists, mathematicians, physicists, mathematicians, and philosophers, theologians, whatever you want to call them, all these different fields. And to be able to listen to these very learned people speak for 2 hours, and then it's amazing the intelligence of the audience that calls back in and the questions they come up with. It's just phenomenal. So keep up the good work, my son.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. You have a great Saturday. Good to talk to you again. All right, we have back-to-back callers here. We got Jerry from Alabama. Jerry, are you on the line?
Yes, hello.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing just great. I just wanted to let you guys know that we're here in Alabama, and we have about a million signs on the side of the road. I don't know what it's about, some kind of weird thing. They all say something about a revolution and Ron Paul, some guy. I don't know what it's about, but there's everywhere. These signs are all over the place, and I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on that.
But you know what? I sure don't, Jerry. I know that there's Ron Paul, it appears to me, and I wouldn't even want to swear to this, would be the candidate of choice for a good deal of the hosts on RBN and also for probably a good deal of the audience. He is the libertarian guy. He does seem to speak the truth. Of course, that would immediately eliminate him from contention because he probably is telling nothing but the truth. That means he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of getting the nomination. But he's fun to listen to, and I guess somebody just went nuts with a few placards in your neighborhood, but trust me when I tell you they're not here in Colorado, so maybe they're just running through your town this morning.
Okay, well, thanks. I'm glad you guys are out there listening. I really don't know. I've always been a candidate of Republicans, and this guy, I don't know, do you think he's a real Republican, or what do you think?
You know what? I don't know that any of them are a real anything, man. As far as I'm concerned, we keep getting caught up in this same cycle of picking the best of a poor lot. And this is my opinion because I used to be a Republican. I started out a liberal Democrat. I became a conservative Republican, went back to becoming a kind of – this is an odd one. I'm a liberal libertarian is what I am. But I think that the bottom line is we find ourselves always trying to elect the least harmful person. And what happens when you do that is you wind up with someone like a George W. Bush, who is far from the least harmful. Well, let's not go there. Let's not skip my judgments of George Bush, because this show is not about judging people. This show is really about what the truth is. The truth is, I think we owe it to ourselves to investigate every candidate as deeply and as far as we can, skipping their personal life and what they and their spouse or their partner do in the bedroom, but knowing what they stand for, knowing how they have performed in the past, and how much of what they're saying now is simply just political BS to get a nomination. I mean, flip-flop used to be an automatic disqualifier. Now the only way you can get involved in this stuff is to be a flip-flopper, to say, okay, I've changed my mind. Well, you know what? It's all good to change your mind. It's all good to grow. I think it's an incredible thing for people to move from a space of judgment and denial into a space of acceptance. I think that's huge. But if it's done strictly for political expediency, and I think those guys stand out like a sore flipping thumb, when it's done for that reason, I think we need to eliminate them in our minds. I think what it's important for us to do is to not get all of our information from the 15-second sound bites in the news, to get it from our newspapers. I think what the important thing for us to do as a population is to get our information by investigating. I mentioned at the top of this this piece that we're doing on volunteerism here that we can barely drag 50% of our eligible voters to the poll to cast their vote. Well, you know what? That's why we keep getting what we're getting, because it appears that the people who are truly concerned are staying home and saying, who cares? I have a great quote here, and I want to read this because I've been dying to read this for 2 weeks, and because you opened the door for me here, Jerry, I'm going to bring this up. This is not a particularly Republican point of view, but it's about the mayor of San Diego, Jerry Saunders, who was totally opposed to the marriage of same-sex partners until he revealed in a speech that he actually has a daughter who's a lesbian. And this is what he said. In the end, I could not look any of them in the face and tell them that their relationships, their very lives, were any less meaningful than the marriage that I share with my wife, Raina. Now, that to me is a true, from the heart, apolitical statement of someone who has changed their mind, recognizing that their original thought was not the spiritual truth, if you will. I mean, I kind of frame everything in the framework of spiritual truth. And this guy actually changed his mind and went to a whole different space around that stuff. I have nothing but absolute, total respect for him and for that thought. So, anyway, how did we get off on that rant? Did I answer any questions or make any sense to you, Jerry?
Very insightful things to say there. I appreciate it. And I've heard about this Ron Paul, but I don't know. I mean, is he like for real, or is he just, you know, playing to the odd group or whatever? I mean, is he?
Well, you know what? I think the guy's for real, man. I don't think you get into this kind of race if you're, well, unless you're Ralph Nader, just for your own ego. I think this guy is really all about what he says. And I'll be honest with you, Jerry, I don't know that much about him. I have read a little bit about him only because I've become aware that he's a very popular name on this network, on Republic Broadcasting. So I have paid a little bit of attention there.
I don't hear anything on the news, like on the television or anything.
Because he's not only is he not a first-tier candidate, he's not a second-tier candidate. He's kind of, and that is one of the, boy, you bring up a great subject there, my friend. That is one of the true, what's the word? It's an injustice of our media coverage of our political candidates, because they do not cover everyone. So we don't get even the slightest opportunity to know a whole lot about everyone who's running. We just hear about the top-tier candidates and little snippets about what they now call the second tier. The fact that we have even allowed the media to define for us who is the first tier, who is the second tier, is absurd to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
anyway,
I agree.
That's where we're at with that. So you're not going to hear a lot about Ron Paul because he's just a blip on the radar screen. I don't know what his poll numbers are, but they're minuscule compared to the Rudy Giulianis and the Fred Thompsons and the Mitt Romneys
of
the world.
Okay, hey, you bring up a good point there.
Let me just make this one point here. I want you guys, all you Republicans out there, I want you to take a good hard look at Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, and Freddie Thompson, and if that's the best you can do, just concede. And you should maybe pay a whole heck of a lot more attention to the Ron Pauls of the world. But anyway, that's my judgment anyway. What were you going to say, Jerry?
One more thing. I'll get off the line in just one second. I wanted to say this. I've noticed that you mentioned Giuliani, and his support groups, like among the people, the American people, he doesn't have anyone supporting him. If you look at the meetup groups on meetup.com, Ron Paul has 900 support groups. And Giuliani has zero. There's if you go on YouTube, I've been going on YouTube tonight, and I watched there's like 30,000 videos on there of people on the streets with signs, just yelling and screaming, and you know, at the straw polls and everywhere. People are all over the place demanding Ron Paul, and I mean, what is going on? Nobody's demanding Giuliani. Why is he a leader? Why?
Because the media has said so. Because he's America's mayor from 9/11. And I'll tell you what, man, that's his claim to fame, period. Because in the great scheme of things, Rudy Giuliani, in my viewpoint, is a political opportunist.
There's not people on the streets of New York demanding Giuliani. There's not people.
In the streets of New York, my friend,
out there. All the American people are saying Ron Paul, and there's nobody saying Romney,
Jerry,
or Giuliani or anybody. There's not a grassroots movement going on.
I would suggest to you that you start paying some attention to what Ron Paul has to say. If he interests you, then you become part of that grassroots thing. It wouldn't be the first time that a grassroots movement in this country shifted the political opinion from who we thought was at the top and brought someone from the bottom up to the top. Rudy Giuliani is not the answer. And when you talk about people in New York are not in the streets rooting for Giuliani, it's because they're glad to see him go. Rudy Giuliani did a great job in New York, but when he left, the people were glad to see him go. He created a lot of animosity in that city. Jerry, I thank you for your call. You have a magnificent Saturday. This is what we're thinking about. We're going to take a break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
There you go. Welcome back to the show. It's a great Phil Collins song, the name of which completely escapes me, but it's a good song. When we're talking, somehow you guys got me off on a political jag here, and this is not a political show, dang it, but we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, provided I know something about it, and provided we don't argue about anything, and provided that we don't blame anybody for anything. I know we have Rachel on the line from my home state of Colorado. Rachel, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you today, my dear?
I'm fine, thanks. I just wanted to make a comment about Ron Paul.
Let's hear it.
I've been following him.
Have you been following him? Rachel, have you been following him, like stalking him, or you've been following what he's doing?
No, I try to get on and to all of the debates the Republicans have, and I am behind him 100%. He has said everything that this country needs. And
you realize, of course, that'll probably immediately eliminate him from contention.
I know, but
it's amazing to me that the guys who speak the truth, the people who have opinions, that they speak outright, some of which are painful, some of which we don't want to hear, some of which maybe are anti-present government policy, those people we tend to just push aside for the happy faces and the guys who are just really kind of more telling us what we want to hear.
Right. The thing is, after listening to Bush rant and rail about Hillary Clinton and how she's going to win the Democratic, I'm ready to, you know, say, okay, I'm going to throw the towel in.
Well, you know what, Rachel? This is very judgmental, and I really, judgment is one of the things that I consider to be one of our true problems in society. And as a human race, judgment is really bad for us, but it's so hard not to be judgmental around what goes on in our government because there's just so much to scream and yell about. And when George Bush has the gumption to talk about the negativity of anyone else becoming president, it's frickin' laughable. Because Hillary, I don't care what anybody thinks about Hillary Clinton, she is smarter than 400 George Bushes.
Well, up to a point.
I'm just talking smarter here, Rachel. I'm just talking about her intelligence.
Right. Well, I don't know how intelligent that is. I think they're both on the same plateau.
Well, but and to be fair to Hillary, the truth is that she's a monumentally intelligent woman, and he even joked not too long ago about being the C student again. You know,
right.
And I don't think it may have been funny in the beginning, but it ain't funny anymore because he hasn't even performed like a C student. He gets a D minus on a good day.
Absolutely.
But anyway, this
and
is
listening
not
to John Stadtmiller, none of them are worth a peso.
You know, Rachel, and I know that John Stadtmiller follows all of that stuff a whole lot closer than I do. I didn't vote for 30 years. I voted for George McGovern.
Right.
Because I couldn't bring myself to vote for Richard Nixon, and I never cast another vote again until the last election. I voted for John Kerry. I registered and went out and voted. First time I registered in 30 years, simply because, not because I was any big fan of John Kerry, because a second George Bush administration scared the bejesus out of me. And
right.
I think I was right. And the old adage is, you get the government you deserve. And everybody who voted for him, well, this is what we got, folks. And I don't think it's pretty. I think it's ugly. I think we have lessened our standing on the planet as, quotes, the superpower, as the number one economy of the world. Do you know that in so many areas, and where did I just read this the other day? Our infant mortality rate is just behind Slovenia's.
Mm.
Are you kidding me? I don't even know. I don't know how far down the list that is, Rachel.
Yeah.
But there's something wrong with that. And it's something that I'm talking about here in this piece. I hope you've been listening to the early part of the show, this volunteerism piece I'm talking about. This is where we the people make a difference. And it doesn't. And you know what? For what part of the fact that I didn't vote for 30 years, I woke up every morning and voted for me. And I looked in the mirror and said, you know what? I'm going to do good today because I don't believe that any of these people has ever done anything for me in my entire life. All I have ever hoped for them to do is to stay the heck out of the way,
right.
Which unfortunately too many of them are incapable of doing. This guy Bush is like, he's like the eternal speed bump. Every time you turn around, he's throwing down another speed bump for our lives. Rachel, I appreciate your call. We're going to go to a break here.
Okay.
Where are you in Colorado?
Florissant.
Florissant.
Yes.
Beautiful up there, man. Beautiful there.
It is.
You have a magnificent Saturday, and call again. Keep listening.
Thank you.
Let's take a break. This is what we're thinking about.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
To the show. I'm Ken Ludwig, and this is what we're thinking about. I want to take a break here from callers for a while. If you're thinking about calling in, hold it off here for a little bit. So I want to get through this volunteerism piece that we're talking about because I think it's kind of important. I really do want to thank Agnes from Tennessee, Gary from Tennessee, Jerry in Alabama, and Rachel in Colorado. You guys were all great to talk to. I truly appreciate people who call in here, don't take themselves too dang seriously and want to have a legitimate conversation about what's going on in this world. I love that. So, anyway, one little commercial here for Republic Trading Group. For you folks out there who are looking to have a hedge against the inroads of inflation on your retirement accounts, your investments of any kind, there is always the fallback position of hard assets. Hard assets would be precious metals, gold and silver, stuff like that. And Republic Trading Group is your place to find out about that and to buy those hedges against inflation at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. That's Republic Trading Group. Supporting them helps to support the Republic Broadcasting Network, in case you hadn't figured out that aspect. And folks, we need your support. So give Robbie a call at 1-800-691-7898. We're going to continue with our volunteerism piece. And we had just talked about creating an education corps. We're next going to talk about instituting a summer of service. And for many teenagers, the summer between middle school and high school is an awkward time. They're too young to get a real job, and they're too old to be babysat. Well-to-do families can afford summer camps and exotic learning opportunities, but they're very much a minority. So Shirley Sagawa, an expert on youth policy and an architect of the AmeriCorps legislation, is proposing a summer of service. 100,000 students would volunteer for organizations like City Year, a national volunteering program, and a think tank, or Citizen Schools, which organizes after-school activities for middle schoolers and runs summer programs for younger students in exchange for a $500 college scholarship. Senators Chris Dodd and Ted Cochran and Representative Rosa DeLauro, why did I mention those political names? I don't believe I actually did that. Have sponsored a bill that would support a service rite of passage for students before they begin high school. I think that's something I've talked about in private for years and years and years. That summertime thing. In the summer when I was a kid, I worked for the same landscaper from the time I was 14 till I was 20 years old. But those jobs are all gone for kids. There are adults taking those jobs now. I was a newspaper boy. Those jobs are gone. They don't exist. So somebody needs to organize an area for kids to just go and volunteer. And in exchange for those scholarships, I think that's one heck of a great idea. Once again, it is incentivizing them to participate. And I think we'll talk more at the end about that, but incentivizing kids to serve, to be of service to the community, is a great way to get them started. But once you get them started, that's a bug that once caught is not easily cured. We'd also build a health corps. There are nearly 7 million American children who are eligible for but not enrolled in government-sponsored health insurance programs. Health corps volunteers would assist the mostly low-income families of these children in assessing available public insurance offerings like the Children's Health Insurance Program. These volunteers would also act as non-medical support staff, such as caseworkers and community education specialists in underserved rural health clinics, which has less than three-quarters of the non-medical staffing they need. It's an important number to remember there. These rural health clinics have less than three-quarters of the non-medical staff they need, which is according to the Voices for National Service, a coalition of service organizations that advocates expanding federal service programs. The one-year experience in the health corps would lead these volunteers toward careers in nursing or medicine, helping to redress gaps that have left the U.S. with a dearth of quality nurses and medical professionals. Next, we would launch a Green Corps. This would be a combination of FDR's Civilian Conservation Corps, which put 3 million boys in the woods to build the foundation of our modern park system, and a group that would improve national infrastructure and combat climate change. When Roosevelt created the Civilian Conservation Corps, there were 25 million young Americans who were unemployed. Today, there are 1.5 million Americans between 18 and 24 who are neither employed nor in school. These young men and women could address America's well-documented infrastructure problems. The Green Corps would reclaim polluted streams and blighted urban lots, repair and rehabilitate railroad lines, ports, schools, and hospitals, and build energy-efficient green housing for elderly and low-income people. Now, that is like that last thought there, that last paragraph in this thing is like the ultimate no-brainer. If you can put a bunch of 18 to 24-year-olds, men and women, to work doing those kinds of things, cleaning up blighted urban lots and polluted streams, to repair and rehabilitate some of our railroad lines, our ports, our schools, and our hospitals. Our schools in particular, I mean, the school thing is like, that's just scary to me. You wonder why teachers won't teach in inner city schools. Well, the ceilings are coming down around them. And that's the kind of thing that a volunteer corps could greatly enhance and change. Next, we would recruit a rapid response reserve corps. The disarray and lack of coordinated response to 9/11 and Katrina tell us there is a role volunteers can play in responding quickly to disasters and emergencies. A new Rapid Response Reserve Corps would consist of retired military and National Guard personnel, as well as National and Community Service Program alumni, to focus on disaster preparedness and immediate response to local and national disasters. The program would initially train 50,000 members who could be deployed for two-week periods in response to emergencies and serve under the guidance of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. That would be FEMA, for those of you who didn't put that acronym together right away. And I don't know that I particularly agree with that idea, although I think FEMA gets a bad rap during this administration, because prior to the Bush administration, it has been a much more efficient, or had been a much more efficient organization, doing much more of the job that it was supposed to do when people who were in charge of it had a clue what they were doing. Next, we would start a National Service Academy. That just take a picture of something like West Point, but instead of learning how to fire an M4 and reading the Art of War, students would be studying the Federalist Papers and learning how to transform a failing public school. Conceived by two former Teach for America Corps members, Chris Myers Ash and Sean Raymond, the U.S. Public Service Academy would give undergraduates a four-year education in exchange for a five-year commitment to public service after they graduate. The idea is to provide a focused education for people who will serve in the public sector, either the federal, state, or local government, and thereby create a new generation of civic leaders. Wow. Ash and Raymond were so dismayed by the government's response to Katrina that they wanted to create a new generation of people who were idealistic about government. We need an institution that systematically develops leadership, says Ash. We need to elevate it in the eyes of young people so we can attract the best and the brightest. The idea has been endorsed by Hillary Clinton and Pennsylvania Republican Senator Arlen Specter, who are co-sponsors of legislation that would allocate $164 million per year for the envisioned 5,000-student academy. Once again, that's just simply a no-brainer. I mean, it's amazing that these kinds of ideas are out there, and if this kind of stuff doesn't gain traction, it's because we're not paying attention, folks. It's that simple. The last one here, is number 10 on the list, is create a baby boomer education bond. Over the next 20 years, 78 million baby boomers will be eligible to retire. That is, if they can afford to. Or more importantly, if they want to. According to an AARP survey, 80% of Americans between 50 and 60 said they were planning to work during retirement. Many seniors are interested in careers that are influenced by a spirit of service. Over half want to work in the education, healthcare, and nonprofit sector, says Mark Friedman, founder and CEO of Civic Ventures and co-founder of Experience Corps. Experience Corps is the largest AmeriCorps program for people over 55. It consists of teams of 10 to 15 people working to improve reading for students in kindergarten through third grade. Just as AmeriCorps members receive scholarships, baby boomer volunteers will be able to designate a scholarship of $1,000 for every 500 hours of community service they complete. The $1,000 would be deposited into an education savings account or into a 529 type fund to be used for the volunteer's children or grandchildren or a student they designate. So it doesn't even have to be a family member. There is a whole trend of people starting second careers with a focus on service, says Friedman. National service is not just for young people. This is the generation that national service was created for in the first place. These are the people who JFK called on to help and for whom he created the Peace Corps. Many missed their chance and are now getting a second opportunity to ask what they can do for their country. Once again, the reason I'm reading this to you is because this stuff has all just blown me away. This is so right on the money. This is how we change the situation that we find ourselves in now. This is how we move away from a dependence on government. You libertarians out there who might think that the greatest gift government can give us is to stay the heck out of our way, this national service idea is right up your alley if you just stop and think about it. Instead of thinking about it as a new bureaucracy, think about it in terms of it as a way to organize the people, us, into doing what the government can't, won't, or maybe even shouldn't. So what kind of money are we talking about here? How much would it all cost? There are about 4 million babies born each year, and if each receives a $5,000 baby bond, that would be about $20 billion a year. That's roughly 2 months of funding for the Iraq War and about half what the government spends per year on the federal prison system. The government would get $1 billion in dividends from the investment and would be able to cash in the bonds that people don't use. At the same time, corporate America would need to to play a critical role in a plan for universal national service. The private sector has contributed more than $1 billion to AmeriCorps. The private sector must step up to the plate in funding national service. After all, it benefits as well. People are often skeptical of calls for service, especially from politicians. So as they see them as crowd-pleasing rhetoric or a way of avoiding asking people to make a true sacrifice. But Americans are ready to be asked to do something. People understand the idea that this is a great country and that greatness isn't free. So, the servenext.org is a place to go here. Servenext.org. Which is a website that has been launched to campaign to get the presidential candidates to endorse national service. Many of them have endorsed it, pieces of it, portions of it, and we're not going to have time today. I'd like to go through them all so that you could be familiarized with who's for it, who's against it, and so forth and so on. But I think the whole reason I brought that up today is because this is about service. This is about something I've talked about many, many times on this show, many, many times in my life. If you are moving your life into an area of looking to do service, you will find the universe, spirit, God, whatever you choose to call that overarching creative intelligence of the universe, you will find that intelligence looking for ways to serve you. Now, that should never, ever be your motivation to do good or to do good by doing well. But it should be something that's always in the back of your mind. The great overarching law of the universe is cause and effect. And every law is subject to cause and effect. And the law of circulation, which is part of cause and effect, would say very simply, what goes around comes around. And as you put service out there and give the gift of service, expect that gift to come back to you. There's an author by the name of Rachel Naomi Raymond who was she was an early pioneer in the mind-body holistic health movement. She is an author, a Times best-selling author, by the way, with a book that she put out in 1966 called Kitchen Table Wisdom, Stories That Heal. You may have read that at some point in time. She's also written other books. There was one, My Grandfather's Blessing, Stories of Strength, Refuge, and Belonging. I want to read you this piece here, and I'm hoping we got time that I can read this fast. But this is about service, and this is important. In recent years, the questions, how can I help, has become meaningful to many people. But perhaps there is a deeper question we might consider. Perhaps the real question is not how can I help, but how can I serve? Serving is different from helping. Helping is based on inequality. It is not a relationship between equals. When you help, you use your own strength to help those of lesser strength. If you're attentive to what's going on inside of me when I'm helping, I find that I'm always helping someone who's not as strong as I am, who is needier than I am. People feel this inequality. When we help, we may inadvertently take away from people more than we could ever give them. We may diminish their self-esteem, their sense of worth, integrity, and wholeness. When I help, I am very aware of my own strength. But we don't serve with our strength. We serve with ourselves. We draw from all of our experiences. Our limitations serve. Our wounds serve. Even our darkness can serve. The wholeness in us serves the wholeness in others and the wholeness in life. The wholeness in you is the same as the wholeness in me. Service is a relationship between equals. Helping incurs debt. When you help someone, they owe you one. But serving, like healing, is mutual. There is no debt. I am as served as the person I am serving. When I help, I have a feeling of satisfaction. When I serve, I have a feeling of gratitude. These are very different things. Serving is also different from fixing. When I fix someone, I perceive them as broken, and their brokenness requires me to act. When I fix, I do not see the wholeness in the other person or trust the integrity of the life in them. When I serve, I see and trust that wholeness. It is what I am responding to and collaborating with. There is a distance between ourselves and whatever or whomever we are fixing. Fixing is a form of judgment. All judgment creates distance, a disconnect, an experience of difference. In fixing, there is an inequality of expertise that can easily become a moral distance. We cannot serve at a distance. We can only serve that to which we are profoundly connected. That which we are willing to touch. This is Mother Teresa's basic message. We serve life not because it is broken, but because it is holy. If helping is an experience of strength, fixing is an experience of mastery and expertise. Service, on the other hand, is an experience of mystery, surrender, and awe. A fixer has the illusion of being causal. A server knows that he or she is being used and has a willingness to be used in the service of something greater, something essentially unknown. Fixing and helping are very personal. They are very particular, concrete, and specific. We fix and help many different things in our lifetimes, but when we serve, we are always serving the same thing. Everyone who has ever served through the history of time serves the same thing. We are servers of the wholeness and the mystery in life. Bottom line, of course, is that we can fix without serving, and we can help without serving, and we can serve without fixing or helping. I think I would go so far as to say that fixing and helping may often be the work of the ego and service the work of the soul. They may look similar if you're watching from the outside, but the inner experience is different. The outcome is often different, too. There's a little bit more to this quote. It's not a quote, it's a little essay. And I think maybe we'll finish that off when we come back after this final break. This is what we're thinking about, and I'm Ken Ludwig, and I'm very grateful that we've just had this show. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity, where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right. Welcome back to the show. I'm sorry if you were going to enjoy that song. I'm not letting us go into it too far because I want to finish this piece here. I'm reading this essay by Rachel Naomi Remen on In the Service of Life. And the final piece of it here is our service serves us as well as others. That which uses us strengthens us. Over time, fixing and helping are draining and depleting. Over time, we burn out. Service is renewing. When we serve, our work itself will sustain us. Service rests on the basic premise that the nature of life is sacred, that life is a holy mystery which has an unknown purpose. When we serve, we know that we belong to life and to that purpose. Fundamentally, helping, fixing, and service are ways of seeing life. When you help, you see life as weak. When you fix, you see life as broken. When you serve, you see life as whole. From the perspective of service, we are all connected. All suffering is like my suffering, and all joy is like my joy. The impulse to serve emerges naturally and inevitably from this way of seeing. Lastly, fixing and helping are the basis of curing, but not healing. In 40 years of chronic illness, I have been helped by many people and fixed by a great many others who did not recognize my wholeness. All that fixing and helping left me wounded in some important and fundamental ways. Only service heals. And I guess my final thought on that is just maybe an amen. It's important to point out that I started this whole conversation with the idea of community. And I think this whole concept of a national service organization, that we are moving into a paradigm of people having the opportunity to volunteer to serve each other, to serve our community, draws us closer and closer together. I think this essay by Rachel Naomi Remen speaks to that at the very end of it here, that we are all profoundly connected from a perspective of service. You can only be of service to that to which you are connected, and that means to each and every one of us. And I'm the way she talks about fixing and helping, I think she means it more from the standpoint of just pointing out the benefits of service as opposed to fixing and helping. There's nothing wrong with fixing and helping when fixing and helping is required. But if you look at everything as service to the whole, service to the oneness, knowing that the wholeness is simply being enhanced by your presence in it, but you are a beneficial presence in the whole among the oneness, then you are in a whole different space of looking at life. You are in a whole different space of receiving from life. And when you put out there into the universe what it is that you desire, your ability to accept it into your life is going to be greatly influenced by your ability to accept others and by what you put forth out into the universe. If you are accepting of all, then you will be accepting of what the universe has to offer you. That's the piece. That's the part that is so important to me, that we can draw together into this kind of like-mindedness, that we can draw together as one, as community, and get back to something bigger and stronger than the block parties that those of us who were born in the 50s remember. We can get back to a community of mankind, a community of the race, a community of the planet. That's my point for the day. I thank my callers. I thank my producer, John, for a magnificent job today with the music. I love you all. Have a magnificent weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday and find out more of what we're thinking about. Though we're feeling all alone, and we're making up this movie, our own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention, and they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. 'Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll take our lives away. With recent